Podcasting 2.0 for January 30th, 2026, episode 249. Put more cheese on it. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It's that time of the week again, and we're a little bit early. Can you believe it? Time to talk about all things podcasting. This is where it really happens. We are the only boardroom that now runs entirely on Linux. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who has a heart out at least once a month. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
Okay. So, boardroom's saying they can't hear me.
Oh. Hold on a second.
Did you pot me down?
No, that's exactly what I thought. That's exactly what I thought would happen. Hold on a second. They can't hear you. You don't need to hear Dave. What's your problem?
I mean, I'm just going to eat. So,
hold on a second.
Yeah, Spurlock said, no Dave on the stream.
Hold on. I'm going to disconnect and fix that. I know exactly what's going on. Hold on. They'll be okay for a moment. Oh, that's too funny. I know exactly what it is. Hold on.
The whole show like that would have been great, though. It's just you talking to yourself.
It'd be fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. It's all I want to hear is myself. Hold on. Where am I? Okay. So this needs to be on. There we go. This one.
Am I okay. Here?
Huh?
Do I exist?
I think you do.
Is it really me?
Let me see.
Or is it?
1-2-1-2-1-2. No, that's not it. That's not it. Hold on. Hold on. You can. We're recording. That's the good news.
Oh, do I go into the recording or was?
Yeah,
it
no.
You?
You're also going into the recording.
Okay, well then we can just replay this as the beginning of the show, as usual.
No, we're just going to keep everything exactly the same. Hold on.
Let's see. Yeah, it's got to be, because this is part of the Linux experience.
This is exactly what the Linux experience is. Okay, let me see if this does it. Hold on. Yeah. All right, let me see. All right, talk to me, Dave.
Hello, I'm talking to you, Adam.
No.
Can the boardroom hear me? No, probably not.
No, I don't think so. What is going on? Can you guys hear David? Say something, Dave.
I'm saying something. I'm also in the middle of eating a grass-fed beef stick.
That's not it. Hold on.
Wait, Cotton Gin said, there you are. He hears me.
Oh, Cotton Gin. Cotton Gin, you hear
me? Only Cotton Gin. Nobody else in the boardroom.
Can you hear me?
Well, daggum.
Hold on. One of these has got to be right. Hold on.
Don't hear Cotton Gin. Well, no, okay, Cotton Gin can't hear me. I need to talk to the boardroom.
Okay, let's see. Boom, 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 boom. Wait. Boom, boom. Let's see. Settings. Oh no. Oh no. This is great. So everything works except.
Is this the test run for NA? Is what I want to know.
Oh yeah, no, it's totally
okay. Yeah, this is what I expected and appreciate. Yes,
let's see. Unfortunately, it seems the whole thing seems to. The problem is butt. Butt is the problem here. Hold on a second. Hold on. Oh man. Okay. And now I can't get this thing to close. Oh, here we go.
Can you vibe code your way out of this?
Close. Can I? Say something. Say something, Dave. Say something.
Hello, I'm saying something. Oh, I'm saying something.
I think we got it. Are you hearing yourself?
I hear myself. Yeah. It says we hear Dave now, just slightly time shifted.
Time shifted.
like from earlier.
There's no time shifting.
they heard me from like right at the beginning of the show, I guess.
So yes, we are completely on Arch Linux today.
Okay, this is like.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Is this problem solved? So I'm back. Am I on the feed now?
No, you're back. No, everyone hears. I don't know what this time shifting nonsense is. Here, I'm going to post the picture.
Time shifting.
I'm going to post the picture of the setup. Here we go. Okay, post. Okay, upload. There we go. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. All right. You got me a.
This is the setup. I have vibe coded it myself. In its entirety.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, that looks good.
So at the top, you've got.
Wow.
Eight players all mapped to the MIDI.
We're not recording. We're not live.
We are. No, we're live. I've been recording the recording has been working.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought we were off the rip. Okay.
No.
Because this is perfect to leave that in there because welcome to Linux.
Yeah. Exactly. It's, man. So let me just tell you what you're seeing here. So at the top, you see eight players. They're all mapped to my MIDI controller. I have the Nano Control 2. So the Nano play, stop, two. And dump buttons are also all mapped to the MIDI controller. If you click on the time, so it starts with time left. If you click on that, it turns green, shows you how long it's been playing. If you click on the title, it automatically sends it to pre-fader listening, so to a different interface on the Rodecaster. If you left-click, you can set the outputs and do MIDI learn. So then, you just click on any button, right-click on any button, say MIDI learn, and it maps it right away. On the left...
Let me Daniel says he's still hearing last week's episode on the stream.
No, he's not. Hold on.
Kanjin said, yep.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. How about now?
Be more, use your words.
I think everything was working, but I forgot to hit stream. Okay.
Oh, this is great. Yeah.
There we go. Now it's working. Okay. So what I understand. So when I disconnected the old 2.0, started playing on the stream and they thought that we were live. Wow. That's meta.
That is super good. This is the Linux way is what this is.
It's not just the Linux way. It's the Omarchi way, baby.
The Omarchi way. You got a little bit of Omarchi, a little bit of vibe code, throw in some Linux, add a Rodecaster, boom, podcast.
All right. So let me explain again. Now everybody can hear me. So, I vibe coded this whole thing. It's all done in Python using the Qt libraries for the interface. So okay. at the top, you have eight players. They're all mapped to my Nano Control 2 MIDI controller, which has eight faders. And next to each fader, there's three buttons. So the play button is mapped, the stop button and the dump button. You can set in and out points, which I always do for the end of show ISO that we use. So I can, I can just set a little clip to play. You click on the time remaining. It turns green. It tells you how much time is left. You click on the
time. I don't see time remain. Where is time remaining?
Up at the top. You see the red numbers?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see.
Yeah. So if you click on
I know what you mean now.
Yeah. If you click on that, it turns green to see how long it's been playing. Sometimes I want that. If I click on the title of the clip, it turns red, and now it's in PFL mode. So pre-fader listening sends it to a different interface. And if I right-click, I can set the global outputs for PFL and for program. And I can also, you right-click on any element, and you can map it to MIDI. So, gone are the days of doing that manually. On the left, this is where I spent a lot of time. On the left is the file browser. And so you can select the library, so it just shows the full, so like one folder shows the full folder. But then you search the library, and it's lightning fast. So it's already
Why is it lightning fast? Because you have a local indexer
something? Yeah, it indexes, saves a huge JSON index file. And when you start it up again, it re-indexes, sees if anything's going on. You can re-index it manually. But it's because the indexing is only done on file names because all my file names are what the clip contains. So
like when I send you a clip, do you rename it to something that makes sense to you?
No, okay. No, I just put it into the bin for that show.
Okay.
I don't have to, I can drag and drop the clips, but I can just click on it once and automatically selects the next player and loads it up. On the right-hand side is the cart wall. And you can
same thing.
That. Same thing. You can search in the library and then drag and drop it over to the cart wall. And they have little volume sliders, and those are controlled just by hovering the mouse over the cart that's playing, and then you can use the mouse wheel, like the opener. I use that for the opener. It's just as easy since I'm already clicking on it.
And what does the mouse wheel do?
Oh, that control like this
levels
controls the volume. So.
That's so slick.
Yeah, so you don't have to have two hands, you can just use one hand.
That works at the top in those in the things across the top too. Does the mouse wheel also do those volumes?
Yes. But I like that's the ones I like using map to MIDI. That's a lot easier. Because you can, because you already have your hand for the start button. So it's kind of one hand. I can always do something else with my other hand.
Yes, you can.
So the tough part was mapping all of the USB outputs on the Rodecaster. And the way you do it is you put the Rodecaster into multi-track mode. And so now you have 12 tracks. And then using Pipewire, which is, before it was jack, I think that was the, jack routing and all this stuff that never really worked for me. Now that Pipewire is in existence, you just write a little script, Pipewire router or something. I'm not quite sure. It's just a small script you add into the config file, and then it sees the Rodecaster and says, oh, okay, good. I know what this is. And it brings up the three interfaces. The only thing which I just discovered is, so it has USB 1, USB 2, and USB chat. That's what we have on the Rodecaster. What I've discovered, it has switched the naming of USB chat to USB 1 main. And that's why.
that's intuitive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I've got to go in and that's just it did that automatically, but it's just wrong. So I've got to change that. Then the biggest problem was as people on the stream heard was getting butt. The streaming tool known as butt.
Getting butt is always the biggest
getting
problem.
Getting butt is, it's been a problem since I was 13 years old. But I finally loaded up butt. And same confusion with the interface. I guess I selected the wrong interface. Really, the biggest thing that's hampered me is the recording tool. Because my workflow for No Agenda includes a lot of editing, and I use Hindenburg Pro is what I've been using for years. And I really love it because you can scrub back and forth real quick using keyboard commands, and then you hit I for in point, O for out. You just do, the regular X to cut a piece, cut a region, or delete. And I have tried, Audacity, they've ruined Audacity. Audacity big time. So I'm using Ocean Audio, OCEN, Ocean Audio.
Hindenburg, it's Mac and Windows, but there's no Linux.
No. Oh, well, you can go on the forums and you can run it with Wine. You may not be able to actually authenticate your copy with your key, but you can run it. Okay. Yeah. That's not going to work. Right now, fully, and just to add to this, this is all running on the Surface Pro 6. So I'm running all of this. I have the main. The Surface Pro is the secondary screen. I have an HDMI big screen in front of my face. That's what I've got everything loaded on.
I was on board with you 100%
until you
said Surface Pro 6.
Well, but that was the dev box because I just wanted to, because I had this thing laying around anyway. I'm like, let me just proof of concept. I mean, it runs, it only has one USB output. So I have a dock connected to it, which
this is getting worse.
Oh yeah,
this is even worse.
Oh no, yeah, it's
you're
better.
Gonna have to transfer this onto a different box.
It's even better. It has so it's a USB-C with an adapter into USB-3 into the Surface. I'm running the display port out into the HDMI monitor, and connected to the hub is mouse, keyboard, external drive, which is where all the clips are stored, and the two USB connectors for the Rodecaster. It works though. I'm blown away.
I give this thing 9 weeks before this machine just before I wake up on a show on an NA show day and I have a text from you saying, "Hey, Windows gives me this boot message. What's wrong?"
What do you mean? No, I'm not using Windows anymore. What are you talking about?
Microsoft. The Surface is giving me not Windows. The Surface is giving me this weird boot error. Like, and you're like this. And the reason I say 9 weeks. This is a calculated number.
IT knowledge right here. This is a local knowledge of the scene.
It is long enough because the goal of the Surface is to behave properly long enough to lull you into thinking that it works. And then it will rug pull you and you're going to wake up one day and be like, Oh no. Oh wait. Well, you go to bed feeling great and you wake up being in a panic.
Well, here's the good news. I have another machine. I've got a Dell, and that's going to be the production machine. And you know, because I have a couple of these Dells laying around. These are great little machines, little box. A buddy of mine works for an oil rig company, and so they have to replace them every 18 months at some. I don't know. So he just takes them, sends them to me.
No, you got cast offs. Those are good.
The cast offs are fantastic. Yeah, but I'm just so blown away that I was able to get it to work. This has been a dream for how long have I been complaining about this?
Oh, 15 years minimum. Maybe 20. I don't know. A long time.
And so in general, you know, just using Omarchi has been kind of a cool experience, which is, you know, so this Arch Linux, and out of the box, it just like all Linux, what is it called? Builds now. What's the term people use?
Distro.
Yeah. That wiped out. Well, there you go.
Was it not the computer? It was the internet.
I have no idea. Everything froze.
The Surface may have already bit you in the ass.
You meant to say 9 minutes, not 9 weeks.
Yeah, revenge of the Surface. I'm not kidding though. I gotta stop laughing. I'm not kidding though. This dock situation, this is not sustainable. This is not going to work.
What's wrong with a dock, man? Docks rock.
Thunderbolt docks are an absolute disaster.
It's not a Thunderbolt. It's a USB-C.
It's Thunderbolt over USB-C.
Oh, that's better. The problem. That sounds hot right there. Let me see.
When Thunderbolt docks came on the scene a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know, probably 7 years ago now. If it was Thunderbolt 3, then it was Thunderbolt 4, which is what everything is now. These things are they are a travesty. Every single day. At the office.
Oh, you got something.
Every day.
A dock problem.
A monitor starts blinking. The internet, the network, the LAN connection drops. And every single time, rebooting the dock fixes the whole thing. They got the latest firmware.
But hold on.
Everything's up to date.
This is a non-powered dongle. It's not even a dock. It's just a dongle.
Okay, you said dock. I thought you meant like a powered docking station.
No. This is literally just a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 port USB expando unit.
Okay, you got like it's kind of like a port replicator.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, and it's getting power from the USB-C because it has power.
Yeah. What is feeding off this dongle?
Two Rodecaster interfaces. SSD hard drive, keyboard, and wireless mouse.
Oh my God. You've got to get off this thing immediately. I cannot allow you to go to production with this machine.
Okay. But I figured this would be the place to test. And
network. Is network on there too?
No. It's just Wi-Fi. Okay. I'm just on the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Which
this dongle thing is not a good situation.
No one else complains about my dongle, Dave.
Well, they haven't seen it like I have.
Once this is all done, actually, just before we started, I noticed a bug in my beautiful playout system, in my cart wall. So the first cart that's loaded plays on the correct interface, but then the other ones play on the wrong interface. So I didn't I replicated the player, but forgot to, I guess, replicate the correct, or make sure it has the correct port.
So, time to whip out Gemini.
It's all been done with Gemini.
That's amazing. And that really is amazing.
But I have a repo so once I've fixed some of these bugs and also the, so the real trick, I got to thank this guy. Hold on a second. Like 1 week ago, as I'm trying to figure out, because I have the instructions. Like, okay, I understand. I can map these USB channels. I can map them using the wire stuff. What is it called again? I forgot the name.
Pipe wire.
Yeah. So I realize I can do this, and then. Okay, so I'm looking, and this is what's interesting. So I'm using Gemini. I'm like, okay, find for me, something that explains how to do this. And so the first time around, it finds all these different instructions, and so I'm following these instructions. And then I'm like, I'm a little frustrated. So I come back after dinner. I said, okay, where was that? Where was those instructions again? Oh, here's a repo. From Jordan Milner, Rodecaster-Pro2-Pipewire. I'm like, no way. Whoa. And he had literally put this up a week ago. Now two weeks ago. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, well, thank you very much, bro.
Some Pipewire genius just had to stick something out there.
And he did. I'm so happy. I'm so thankful. Of course, I need to fix some bugs here.
Can you post that repo? Because, I mean, I've got the Duo. And I would like to pipe wire it also.
In fact, I forked it. I forked it for everybody. There you go.
Oh, of course. Oh, good idea.
I've been learning stuff.
You're using GitHub.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Pipe wire plumber. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pipe wire plumber. But just in general, Linux is a great experience. It really is. The interface is so snappy. Now, the tiling manager took a little bit to get used to, but once you're kind of in it, it's like, I don't think I want to go back. I really enjoy the automatic. You can float windows. That's obviously how I've done the playout system. But having everything snap to tile, I kind of like it. Like, open up a new terminal window. It finds a place. It's right there. One click, you can embiggen it, and the other ones go smaller. It's a different way of working with a window manager, but I kind of dig it.
I've used a tiling window manager a couple of times in the past, and I do love the keyboard, like the keyboard master, aspect of it,
yeah.
I'm sort of a window fidgeter though. I'm just the whole, like the entire show and all day long, I'm just tweaking window positions and moving things around. And like, it's almost a nervous habit that I have where I'm like, okay, this window's not, there's a little bit more space on the left than there is down on the bottom.
It's OCD. I have the exact same OCD, thing. Yeah. So now when you fidget the window, it rearranges everything along with it. So you're like, okay, I got my email open, Obsidian open, and a browser open. And they're now three vertical tiles. And so, you know, I just hit the super key, right click on the mouse, drag it. The other ones shrink automatically. I can move it back. I can move it up. I can reposition them. You might actually like this because I'm the same way. I'm like, okay. Everything has to be exactly in the right spot with the same amount of space between the window above it and the window I'm in. I completely agree.
Yeah, I wish I wasn't that way. I wish I, cause I watched my wife use like a MacBook.
Yeah.
And I can't even look at the screen. I'm like, I can't look at this. It's, you know, there's stuff overlapping stuff everywhere else. There's like half of a word processor window hanging off the screen and she's still typing into it. I'm like,
Oh no. That's horrible.
Jesus, come soon.
So wrong.
This is not right. I just, yeah, I can't handle it. So I'm going to give this a shot because, you know, this machine I'm podcasting on, I mean, this is what year three of podcasting on this Linux box. And of course, I don't have the needs that you do. I mean, you're running master command over there, but it works. I mean, it's fine. I've not replaced it. I tried to replace it 1 week and with Windows 11, this is like 2 years ago and hated it. And it, because of it, but it was nice to be able to use all the audio interfaces on the Rodecaster for that 1 week. So if I've got the Pipewire thing, right, that just makes life even better. Yeah, I'm good.
But my big thing is I was just so sick and tired. I'm still on Windows 10 for my production machine. Oh, we know all the doomsday talk, fine, whatever. You know, it won't shut up about needing to move to 11. They just change things willy nilly. And in general, the applications that I really need and I really want to use, the open source applications are kind of really good. And all the other stuff, I'm paying for stuff. I'm paying for video editing software. I'm paying for screen recording software. And you can just find all this. And it's, I got to tell you, it's pretty decent. And, you know, I've looked at all this throughout the past 20 years. And for the first time, like, okay, this is workable. You know, it's,
I'll tell you one thing I like about you. I'm just digging into your screenshot here. One thing I really like about this is sort of like the borderless windows, the chromeless stuff on here.
Yeah.
Because I dig that too. Cause I don't like the humongous, window. Captions at the top of each window, and so I don't need any of that.
Well, that's the whole point of Omarchi is you don't have any of that anymore, and you can completely customize it if you want rounded corners, which I don't. I want sharp edges. If you want everything to snap exactly next to each other, or you can have as many pixels as you want in between the borders. It's an OCD person's dream. I mean, it's like I can configure this. Oh yeah, baby, it's good.
One thing I miss about Fluxbox, which was kind of
Fluxbox
built, that was built on the theme or the scheme of the window Chrome was kind of motif or centric, and then but it was a very thin window manager. And one thing I miss about that is you could double click the title bar of a window, and it would like window shade itself up into the title bar.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
And then you could like double click it again and it would drop back down.
So I've had the Mac had that. The Mac still has that, doesn't it? Doesn't it still have that where you can window shade? Or maybe that was an extension load back in the day. I'm thinking.
It must be an extension. Yeah. Cause I would like that. Cause I could leave things sort of stacked, but then shade them up. And then this was kind of pre workspace when you didn't have,
right.
Once you could do different workspaces like that, you didn't really need that as much.
Yeah. Anymore, and I would say with Omarchi, you need to be using your workspaces, which is,
I guess you can Alt F2 or something like that and flip to a different.
So we, in Omarchi lab, we speak of the super key, Dave.
Okay. Okay.
So we use the super key, and you can do super key 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to switch between workspaces, super key. Everything's with the super key. So you want to launch an app, super key spacebar, just type it in. It's real nice. It understands PWAs really well. It lets you create PWAs. So if I want Gemini, it just opens a Gemini window, no other browser stuff.
Yeah.
So no bar, nothing.
You're just selling this so hard to me.
I am.
I'm jiving with you so much.
Well, I watched these videos.
I'm tempted to go back to Linux on my other main machine.
Well, I watched all these videos of these guys, you know, the guy who built it. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. He's not moving his hands off the keyboard at all. It's mm-hmm. just like, he's just doing everything with the keyboard. I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. I want 90% of my work, if more, if possible, just make it all keyboards. Fantastic.
Now, what goes in this screenshot? What this empty middle here? What goes in the middle?
Oh, my browser window. I just pulled it out for the screenshot. Okay. Yeah, that's my workspace. So okay. I have a Freedom Controller outline, which is open there. Yeah. No, it's an Alt Tab still works. You know, for people who like Alt Tab, that's important sometimes. Mm. You know, if you're saying, so I want to switch to the Boostagram window, you know, I could do that real quick. I'll be publishing this.
Are you doing this Sunday? Is this going to be?
Yesterday, I got up really early. Tina had to be somewhere. So we were up at 4:30 or 4 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, it's like, I'm going to start the production. And that's when I really realized that, okay, the playout system, I feel pretty good about it. We'll see if this thing lasts throughout the entire show. We've been recording for 30 minutes. So I think after 15 minutes is when it borked. So let's see if it's a 15 minute timer on something. It's possible that there's a 15 minute thing. I have no idea what happened. So that's possible. I wouldn't want to have to go through that with no agenda. So I probably won't do it until two things happen. One, I have to find an editing workflow because I am so – I make up 70 clips for one show. Maybe
for the Hindenburg replay.
Yeah, maybe only play 50 of them, if that. But at least I have them, depending on how the conversation goes. And my workflow is so fast. And I started yesterday morning, like, I just can't do this. Nothing really comes close to the Hindenburg Pro.
So this is a serious. So let me ask you some questions. With Hindenburg, how much of it do you use? I mean, is it just a very small subset of functionality?
Yeah. So record, hear the main. Mm-hmm. In fact, for a little bit there, I'm like, I'll just build one myself.
That's what I was about to say. Could you vibe code it?
Yeah. I actually got to here's the main functions. One, just record and record. I need to be able to see how long it's been recording. So everything has a timer on it. I need to be able to use a keyboard command to set a marker, for a ISO or an edit or something like that, you know, just so I can find it easily. Then for editing, it uses the HJKL keys. So I can just do, if you do L, then it scrubs forward normal speed. If you do LK, it scrubs forward at double speed and progresses in speed the longer you hold it. So you go really fast.
It gets faster.
H and J is for reverse. And then to slow it down, which I sometimes use. You use the L key for forward, hit the shift key, and it goes rah, rah, rah. That's really slow. And then just setting ID3 tags, image, and exporting. That's all I use it for. And all the other stuff.
You could vibe code this. You totally could.
Well, it's funny you say that because I started vibe coding it, and I got the scrubbing like within like 30 minutes. I had the scrubbing part working. But then I'm just thinking like the waveform, because the waveform is tough. Waveform stuff is complicated.
Why?
To make it, this is just what I noticed with this thing, to make it really reflect the volume, first of all, the volume of the clip. So, you know, you have to make sure it's doing that properly. Zooming in, there's a, you know, how long it takes to build the waveform, all kinds of factors that come in, a lot of different factors. But otherwise, I just need an in and out. I don't need to do multi. I do like sometimes if I'm editing some kind of thing, I want to add multiple tracks and mix it down. But you can do that in almost everything. But this Ocean Audio, I think it's customizable. I just haven't figured it out yet. And if not, I should be able to go in and customize it. That's the beauty of the open source.
Now, one thing, somebody, who is this Alan Markestrat, Reaper? Have you tried Reaper?
Yes. Reaper is so much overkill.
But the thing about Reaper, and I've used Reaper for a long time for, DAW with music stuff. And the thing about Reaper is, you're exactly right. It's overkill, but it is so customizable that you could get rid of all the overkill and pare it down to just the thing you exactly want.
That's what I've been thinking about doing as well. I loaded Reaper, got it to work. I'm like, what are all these? What is this mixer stuff popping up? And, you know, it's just my brain just fried on. I'm like, I just want to see a waveform back and forth.
The amount of customization you can do in Reaper to interface and it's outrageous how much you can customize this.
Okay.
Thing.
You have,
I feel like it's
me.
I feel like it's either Reaper or you're going to need to vibe code something. And I just feel like you can, because like waveform stuff, there's got to be so much sample code out there already to handle stuff like that. There's got to be.
Anyway. Welcome to podcast 2.0. It'll be my gift to the world, man. And everybody will be able to use it. And it's, I don't think there's a, no, I know there's not a single podcast playout system like the one I've designed. It does not exist.
This is going to be out of left field a little bit, but, you may want to ultimately get a machine that has ECC RAM.
ECC. Isn't that the stuff that that protects if a bit is corrupted, then it automatically corrupts. That's what happened with the airplane.
Yeah.
That's what happened with that Airbus that went down. The ECC.
You get a stray, I was hearing Linus Torvalds talk not that long ago about he only uses ECC RAM in all of his workstations, and you associate ECC with servers. If it's really important to make sure the integrity of your memory is solid,
particularly with audio stuff.
And I'm just wondering about, because when you're talking about like loading a waveform and that kind of thing, I mean, you're essentially building an inmit unit. You're building a matrix of a potentially large, a large binary matrix in memory. And if you just get one thing that just gets kind of
crashes,
like cocked up in that thing. I mean, I just feel like things would be a whole lot more stable. And that's what he was saying. He was like, I've had machines before where I've just had tons and tons of problems with them. And I thought it was an operating system problem. And then I like switched out the RAM to something else, and it was like everything. It was instantly. It was all better.
Huh? You know, I'm thinking these Dells may have ECC RAM because they're on oil rigs, or I think it's sea drilling rigs actually.
Yeah, a lot of those things that made for industrial use. A lot of those do have, because they need to be rock solid. Embedded devices, things like that. They just have to, because you can't afford to have those things make a mistake.
Anyway, so then I'm also going to be building the Quen-TTS model on the new, not this machine, but on the new machine. That's the that's the very cool open source competitor to 11 Labs, which I see. Man, there's so much cool stuff right now that's coming out.
What's it called?
Quen, it's from Alibaba, I think.
The Quen audio model.
And what was the other thing? Someone showed me this. Hold on a second. There was something else really cool. It was this thing you download. Pinocchio. Pinocchio.co.
Just spelled in the normal way?
No. PINOKIO.CO. And it's basically you load it and you're running a cloud. So it's called the one click local host cloud. And it makes it really easy because they have all these pre-compiled things such as Quen 3 TTS. So, you know, compiling that is, that was an interesting little, I started to do it and like, okay, no, this is too much. But they've got a lot. If you look at, so it's Pinocchio.co. They've got Quen 3 TTS. They've got Song Generation Studio, Vibe Voice Real Time, Ultimate TTS Studio. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here.
I wonder, the Quen TTS model doesn't look like it's, is that not an open model?
Yeah, it is.
Because it's not on Llama.
No, it's not on Llama. No, I know.
Huh.
Oh, but it's, weird. Yeah, it's open. Maybe they just, it just got released like a week or two ago. So maybe they just haven't put it in yet.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that you can load with this, and that's just much easier. Mm-hmm. And they've got really light versions of it that you can run, you know, on a Surface Pro 6.
Yeah.
If you so please. Yeah. So with that in mind, I think AI has done me well. I have no idea how they how they make money off of me.
they don't. This whole thing is like a part. I have two open web UI servers that I kind of constantly fiddle with. And honestly, some of it is just the fear that this whole thing's going to blow up. And I just want to keep
some
local stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to keep some local stuff around. Because I this thing is a financial disaster waiting to happen. I mean, you saw what happened to Microsoft, I guess.
It was amazing. You had Meta, Facebook, investing $75 billion into AI stuff. They pop up 6%, and Microsoft mm-hmm. drops 6%, and they're only investing $30 billion. It's like
because they can't make it. They can't make it make work.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody wants their AI stuff. Nobody. Like, they can't sell it.
Yeah,
I mean, like at least somebody like Anthropic has a product that has buzz and people want. But and they're selling. There's a lot of people that are paying them $200 a month for this. You know, for the Claude Code stuff, but Microsoft, they can't make a dime on this stuff.
Yeah. You're not deploying any of that at the day job, are you?
Nobody is.
No.
I mean, like they will not tell anybody corporate adoption numbers. They just won't. I mean, nobody wants their $30, $35 a month add-on for 365. For the AI stuff, it's just like for Copilot and all these things, they're going to go somewhere else and get just a better product.
Is it really that the product is no good, or is it just that it doesn't? It's in the wrong place.
This is the typical Microsoft way. They got a name for something and they deployed it everywhere and called it all the same thing. So everything is Copilot. And nobody knows what any of it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you open up Edge and you have a Copilot button in your Edge browser, but that's not the same Copilot as what you get if you pay for 365 Copilot, which also gives you a Copilot button in your app, but it's a different button.
Mm.
And now they put a Copilot button even on the regular non-paid subscription 365 apps, but that's not the same Copilot button. But they all look the same and they all do something different and half the time they don't work.
And the minute you hit that button, if you're non-paying, the first thing it says is, oh, you got to have cloud, man. If you don't have the cloud, we can't do it for you. Got to be on the cloud. Like, no, cancel.
It's the Microsoft way. They just don't. They always do this. They try to call everything Windows or everything Office or everything Microsoft. And it's just a confusing mess. And I think the problem with the investor stuff and the reason they tank so hard is that they're spending $30 billion a quarter on AI build out and they can't sell any AI.
Right. Whereas Meta says, well, we're using AI to increase our ad revenue when they had better ad revenue.
And then you look over here and Apple is doing nothing with AI. And they're making $40 billion in profit a quarter.
Well, there's a distinct chance they're going to screw everything up. because they, wow. So Microsoft is down again 3% today. They're going to, and gold is down 30%. Holy crap. What just happened?
Whoa, what is gold under 5,000?
No, wait, silver drops 30%. Oh, man. Gold tumbles 10. Wow. Okay. What was I going to say? I really think that Apple, because, you know, they want to have Siri become like your chat bot, which I think by itself is dumb because people are already invested in their chat bots. You know, they've already customized it. You know, they with the attitude and the what is it? The personality that they want it to be. It's like, okay, fine. So Siri is going to have to be something kind of uniform. I don't think they'll have it customizable, and it's going to make mistakes, and people will not accept that. They don't accept the mistakes from Apple products.
I mean, I don't know why they're even bothering. Honestly, they made more money from, they made something like $80 billion in revenue from just the iPhone.
Yeah.
I mean, just that one device. Like, why even bother with all the rest of the stuff? I mean, just do one thing and do it well.
Get
and
rid of your Macs.
Siri has blown chunks for how many years now?
Forever.
And it has never stopped a single person from buying an iPhone.
No. Right. Yeah. Well, it's the promise, I guess. The underwhelming delivery on the promise is what the problem is.
Yeah.
So did I read that you spent $8 on some app or something that deletes the advertisements and ad and host read ads in your podcasts?
Okay. So I gave my spiel about my Twit subscription to Security Now and Windows Weekly, and how
you want to pay for it, not get the ads, but still get chapters.
I want chapters, yes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I'm interested in this on device ad skipping technology. Let's I'm already a subscriber to Twit, so I downloaded this app, paid the $8 for the in-app purchase to upgrade to ad skipping.
Mm-hmm.
This app that I tried out was called Earsay.
Earsay. Yeah. Okay. Not familiar with this product.
That's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And so I paid the $8, subscribed to Windows Weekly and Security Now, the regular feed, not my private subscription, member feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well, this is fine because I'm a subscriber. I don't feel bad or guilty about this. I'm going to just use these as tests. It's horrible. I'm not going to throw any podcast app developer anywhere under the bus.
No,
it's just not. It's a hard job. It's a hard thing. It's very difficult to make a good app, and it takes a long time.
Yes.
Well, all I'm going to say is this app has real struggles.
Hold on, Dave. Hold on. Me. There goes the Surface. Hold on. Oh. The whole thing froze up. Come back, please. Oh, no. All right. I'm going to pause this. Oh, did it come back?
Fundamentally.
Okay, hold on, Dave. Hold on.
When you go in there, it does like a.
Dave, hold on.
Are we Linuxing again?
Oh, yeah. No, you've been frozen for about 2 minutes. Hold on. Come on. Yeah, come on. It's trying to come back to life. It's coming back. Hold on. It's trying to come back.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you a little bit. Hold on. Okay. All right. Are you there? Oh, no. You went away. Reconnect. Oh, man. That was probably the worst I've ever seen it. Okay. Come on. Come on. You back? Hello?
Yeah, I've been here the whole time.
Holy moly. Hello? That was amazing. The whole system froze. The whole system froze. Oh, yeah. No, it was good. So go back and tell me about the... I think you dropped out when you were telling me about what the system does. What's it called again?
Oh, Earsay?
Yeah, Earsay. Let's pick it up from Earsay.
I said so much, I don't even remember what I said. I'm so sorry.
I know why it happened, because okay. I switched to another desktop to do something while you were talking, and that screwed it up. So I'm not going to touch it.
I'm telling you, it's the Surface. You got to get rid of that thing. Anyway, so yeah, I don't want to.
Yeah, throw into podcast
under the bus.
That's where I lost you. Yeah, no, okay, no so, throwing under the bus. Yes,
no, writing a podcast app is hard, but this podcast app has some critical flaws in it, which make it completely really unusable. Like, it won't download podcasts properly.
Okay, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a real problem.
So wait a minute, how does it work? Does it download? Does it do it on the fly? Is it doing it on a transcript? How does it detect ads and remove them? Do you know what the process is?
Supposedly, it's loading some sort of on-device model, and then analyzing the audio file. Maybe it's running a transcript first. I would assume that's what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It is doing its own transcript and then trying to use the model to sort of tease out what is a what's a host read ad, some kind of ad read, and then the problem is it won't download podcasts hardly at all. And then it takes a long time.
What do you mean hardly at all? Does it say it's downloading, but it doesn't? Or what does that mean? Qualify.
Okay. So I'm looking at the app right now. So I've only got two podcasts in here, Windows Weekly and Security Now.
Mm-hmm.
And let me go Windows Weekly. It says that it's downloaded, but if I go to the queue that shows my downloaded podcasts, it's not there.
Okay, that's a problem.
But if I do any functions at the top of the queue, it asks me if I want to mark this episode as read. So it's like I can't see it.
But will it play?
Actually there.
But will it play? It plays.
I can get it to play. Mm-hmm. But when the first time you play the episode, it does this thing. It's like boop boop boop. Yeah, it makes a little jingle. For like maybe, I don't know, like 30 seconds or a minute.
Uh-huh.
And then when it finishes bebopping, then it'll start playing the episode. And I think that it was that, that's like it's spending that time like analyzing the thing.
Uh-huh. Well, then it's giving you robot sounds. Like, I'm working, I'm doing something.
Boop, boop, yeah, boop, yeah, boop, yeah. Boop, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Boop, 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 boop. And so then it gives you your timeline, your slider, mm-hmm. to jump back and forth. And there's red sections in the slider, which it thinks are audio, which it thinks are ads.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it gets to the ad and it plays like maybe 20% of the ad, skips about 40% through the middle of the ad, and then plays like the remaining percent, and then plays. So it's not really skipping the whole ad. It's just skipping like sort of like a half the ad.
Mm.
And so it's very, and then the other problem is it skips things that aren't ads because it thinks they're ads, but they're not.
So, kind of like my Linux system. It just cuts something out in the middle, just willy nilly, whenever it feels like.
It just decides when Dave is necessary and when he's not.
Got it. Yes.
And so if you, for instance, you are sitting there giving me the rundown of the way that your new system works. Mm-hmm. You're telling me about all of its features and what you're doing. It may think that that's an ad because you're talking about features and things like you would be talking about a product.
Right.
And so one of the things like in security, latest Security Now, Steve Gibson is talking about this AI model from this particular company, and he just ran down what they say this model does. And it was sort of like a lot of ad speak. Nah. We'll just skip right over what he said. It just like, it blew out like 6 minutes of what he was saying. I'm like, wait, what? It's just not a great product. And so I don't know if that's indicative of this thing being vibe coded by somebody who doesn't know really how to write apps. I don't know.
Hmm.
But we're seeing a proliferation now of these things, and some of them are clearly vibe coded. Like there was a new platform this week for analytics that John Spurlock posted about, and it says right in the thing that this thing was built with Claude Code. So I think there's a lot of people pushing, you know, they're selling things now, new services and that kind of thing. They're vibe coded that just may not fully understand what they've built and how it works and how to fix it. Or what. I don't know if it's here, but this is a real thing. This is going to be the future, and I don't think anybody really is prepared for what that's going to mean for things like DAI, because that stuff, this is just the rough first attempt at doing something like this. And we know the way these things go, it's just going to get better. And
it's all like, going to get, we just need more power. If only we had more power. We need more data centers and power data centers.
We've read this. We have read this story before. The story of what's happening in podcasting with AI right now is the story of the web and free written content. First, you get the ad blockers.
Yeah.
You know, then you get the anti-ad blockers.
Yep.
And none of that works. And eventually the sites start putting their written content behind paywall. And that's what's going to happen here. You're going to have, at some point, once this audio ad skipping technology just becomes sort of more mainstream and more reliable, and people begin to adopt it in mass the way that they've adopted ad blockers. Once that happens,
it's over.
You're just going to see people go behind a paywall.
Right. Which is never made sense to me. From a monetary standpoint, you build it up, you get your audience, and then you take them behind the paywall. You're very vulnerable when you do that. Because, we, just as an example, No Agenda, which is PayPal, has always been the main value for value income stream. And when we had the PayPal apocalypse, if you remember, when everyone got really pissed off at PayPal, what were they mad about? I forgot what that was.
Because PayPal said it had something to do with censorship.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. If you were doing, what was it again? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. It was like certain people you could donate to if they determined that it was bad, and that they could also like penalize you, like take some of your money away or something like that.
Right. So everybody en masse went, yeah, screw those guys, and canceled all of their recurring payments, which is, it's probably 15 to 20% of our income is people just set and forget at $5 or $11 or $12. It's the same with podcasting 2.0. And also end of the year, although some financial services are pretty interesting, they just somehow put your new credit card in when it expires. I've seen that. It's amazing how that works. But we have to remind people, like, go check, because they won't tell you. You know, PayPal doesn't tell you, oh, we canceled this because your card expired or whatever. Or you may not have seen the email. And so, you know, it's just like the streaming video guys. At a certain point, people just start cutting back. They make choices. We've talked about this. And then, you know, they're going to look and say, well, I got $150 worth of subscriptions every month. Like, I'm going to cut something here.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think it's impossible to build something up that is, you know, the whole freemium model. I've never believed in that. I think it's complete horse crap. Like, yeah, you know, I'm giving you this content here, but the really good stuff you got to pay for. I'm thinking, well, no. And the relevance, just the relevance of people being able to hear what you have to say or pass it on to somebody. You know, then they're jumping through hoops and trying to figure it out and then making copies. And, you know, then there's like Rogan. How many bogus Rogan feeds do we have when he was Spotify exclusive? They were popping up every single day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just the model is kind of flawed. But yeah, if you get 250,000 people and you say, okay, subscription now, and you're able to keep 50,000, maybe more. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good payday, but it's a very, very dangerous situation. Doesn't take much. One deplatforming of a financial institution or whatever, and you're done. You're just done.
Yeah, I think this is a bad thing for people, for just podcasting in general. I mean, we just know how this ends, and they can't, the podcasters that are steeped in the advertising lingo and the advertising thought process. They just
so now,
can't see outside
when
the bubble.
You fidget, right click on the mouse, drag it, because I'm the same way. I'm like, okay, everything has to be.
And so they think the only nervous way habit that is. Paywall.
Yeah.
That's like their own.
Marvel. Jesus, come soon. So wrong.
Mind, they never think about Jesus. And all day long, I'm just for value for value for donations. Yep. And I think I just feel like over the next 2026, but by the end of this year, this is January, by the end of this year, I think that's going to be the story. But
that's all
now,
going value for value. You mean?
No, it's all going to, you're going to see, we're going to look back a few years from now and see that 2026 was the year that there was a pivot from advertising based podcasting to paywall based podcasting, subscription only podcasting.
Mm.
And it's going to be because of this ad blocking stuff. It's gonna, by the end of the year, there's gonna be a lot more of this happening, and the normal podcast app developers, people like Pocket Casts and Marco and Apple Podcasts, and these, they don't want to do this, because a lot of them, like Marco, I mean, he's got his own show that's advertising supported. You know, that would be like, you know, biting the hand that feeds you, so to speak, or there's probably a better metaphor for that. There's going to be a lot of, and like Franco Solario, he's a podcaster and has run a podcast for many, many years. I mean, I don't know how long, but I mean, he's a podcaster going way back. He has a very frequent show that he's run with lots of episodes. People who have been around in the podcasting world for a really, really long time, they're not going to want to do this.
No.
But you're going to see these other apps like this one pop up that will do it. And they don't care. And they're and people will start moving to these apps because it's irresistible.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I feel like we're going to look back in 2026 is going to be this sort of like line in the sand moment.
I mean, truly advertise, you know, I learned a new acronym yesterday from Rocky. We text from time to time. The Rock Line, talking about the Rock Line. And she said, well, you know, FAST. I'm like, FAST? What's FAST? F-A-S-T, all uppercase. Oh, free ad-supported television. And she says that these things are cropping up everywhere. People are propping up live video streams, and, you know, they're getting cheap old shows, and they're jamming. It's like, you know, Pluto, Tubi, all these types of outfits. Because really, it's only in a linear format that it really works. In a linear, real-time format, that's when you can drop in ads. Everything else is susceptible to the fast-forward button, to the skip-ahead 60 seconds, you know, the whole TiVo thing. And also, it's the only way to create scarcity. If there's only X amount of ad slots in a 60-minute hour, then you can create scarcity. So we're in this middle. I mean, man, we've been seeing it with the Salem Radio Network, who are, you know, one of the biggest Christian broadcasters, ad supported. They already sold off all their music stations because that was just too expensive, I guess. But now they're dropping expensive hosts left and right. You know, Eric Metaxas, Dinesh D'Souza. I mean, why? Mm-hmm. Because they either have to run 15 minutes or 20 minutes of ads an hour, or they have to cut costs somewhere. The whole thing, right. It's, you know, the whole, I think you said it best, you know, radio isn't broken. The business of radio is broken. And of all media, all linear media, advertising worked. And will there always be something that works? Yeah, of course. But you know, just look at banner ads, you know, that's pennies now. Pennies. If that.
You talked about this a long time ago about how the scarcity of linear media and print media made it possible for advertising to work. And then when it went to the web, it broke that because now you have unlimited. There's no more scarcity. You just hit the refresh button over and over and over and you have more ad space.
Yeah.
You talked about that. The thing about podcasts, the thing about the internet giants that have made advertising work, people like Facebook and Google, is they created artificial scarcity.
Yes.
The reason they're successful at it is they created artificial scarcity through owning the entire pipeline. You couldn't go anywhere. I mean, that's clearly come out in court documents and discovery at this point, is that they own the entire market, all the way from the bidding down to the display. They own every link in the chain. Mm-hmm. So you really, what they did was they created a monopoly over the entire pipeline so that they invented artificial scarcity where there was not any.
Right.
But that's not something that podcasting can do. I mean, DAI, if you have a host read ad, yes, that is scarcity. But with dynamic ad insertion, it's just the web problem over and over and over. You have unlimited inventory. Well,
exactly. And with host read ads, which I do think is the only way to do it, you need a large audience to make any kind of sustaining money off of that. That's where the problem comes in.
As soon as some of these things get popular, the advertisers are going to get very skeptical of the numbers.
Well, there's the elephant in the room is the, what are you measuring? Huh? Did someone actually listen? Yeah. Yeah. That's why I love value for value. It works. Yeah. I mean, it's a roller coaster. Economy bad, less value comes in. It's like I hurt the same with as our listeners, our producers. I hurt right along with them, but it's amazing. I don't even know how many people listen to our show. I just don't look. I don't care. It's amazing to see how, you know, you'll have like very few people donating. And then on that very day, someone comes in with like $3,333.33. Like, what? And then you can sit there and say, because I've for 18 years been like, well, we would have been toast if this guy hadn't jumped in. Mm-hmm. But it's always like that. For some reason, it just works that way. If you remind people, you tell people how it works, and you thank them, that's critical.
This show is just a smaller version of that. I mean, we have the same thing. A lot of people come in. Somebody came in today at the last second, you know, with a good donation. So like we. Yeah, obviously we're a smaller show, you know, magnitude smaller show than No Agenda, but it's the same. I have the same feeling about it on a week to week basis, and it's really cool. I mean, you know,
it is. Well, we couldn't live off of this, you know, but that's not the point. And there we go. And that's it. What are you really podcasting for? Everybody wants to make money. Everybody's all about making money. Why would I waste my time doing this? And I look at the influencers cooking shows. I put more cheese on it. No, this, look at the cheese.
Put it looks more cheese.
Tina the other day, she's like, I'm going to make cottage cheese pizza crust. I'm like, did you get this off of Instagram? Mm. She said, yeah. I was like, okay. She pulls it out of the oven. She says, that's not now how it looked on that person's Instagram.
Oh man, I went to the movies with my son last night, and a video came through his timeline about something with the Minnesota protester stuff, and so he's like, I made the mistake of tapping on it to watch that video, and he said, now My entire timeline is just nothing but that all the time. And he's like, I just deleted Instagram off my phone. I can't handle it.
That's the same with TikTok and, you know, everyone's kind of figured out the algorithm is just, you want this. We're going to give you a whole bunch of that until you click three times on something else. And then when you get a whole bunch of that, I don't see much sophistication anymore. Because work related. Okay. I'm looking at these videos of Minneapolis, and then it decides, well, you probably want more people killing each other. So here's some other cool videos to watch. No, I'm not really into that. Oh, you know, more cops.
Russian body cam footage. Yeah.
No, I don't get those. I get the sovereign citizens. Oh, you click on that once, you know, sovereigns, like, I'm traveling. But your tag is expired and you see your license registration. I'm traveling and do you have proof that I did something? And like, and they wind up breaking their window, dragging him out, arresting him.
That's a good day. Yeah, it's a good day.
So you watch one or two of those and the timeline is just stacked.
Adjacent to that, to this advertising or ad skipping stuff, you know, what I was talking about last week was an API, some kind of API to be able to feed bits of like amendments to a feed back to yourself. Mm-hmm. That was the, so I spent a little bit of time this week just running a local, like testing my local LLM to see how far I could get with a little bit of this. And it hit me though. If we just had a spec for this, I know you're probably like, come on, get Dave, let it go.
No, I listen. When you're on something, I listen to you. I've learned it's good to listen.
We don't need an API. That's overkill. All we need is just some XML. So like if I want to add, if I want to append or amend some content to a feed in some way, I should just be able to say, oh, here's some extra XML over here. And I want you to just pull that XML into this feed at this location, almost like an inclusion of an OPML file. Right. So,
okay.
But I think what I'm saying, if we just had a spec that shows you that says, how to address an amended XML document. So the problem is this is hard to describe. So what I'm, so no, let's say no agenda, the feed has, so somebody's a subscriber and they're like, you know what? I wish No Agenda had, I wish the feed had this one little bit of extra content in it.
Okay.
Now, maybe not a great example because your feed is already very feature complete, but maybe there's this one thing missing that they wish that it had in it. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, maybe it's even their own images. Maybe they want their own podcast artwork, item level podcast artwork.
Okay.
There should be a way to tell an app, anytime you download anytime you find a new, anytime you parse a feed, also go out to this location and check if there's some extra XML out here that you should then just merge into this feed at this location. And that way, it's a way for a user to customize an existing feed to their own liking.
Well, let's put it all together. Let's put everything we've been talking about together.
Okay.
Considering that, especially with this Pinocchio outfit, it's becoming, people are seeing, and this is something, Claude Bot. Have you heard of that? C-L-A-W-D, Claude.
Yeah, wasn't there some kind of data breach or something with them?
No, I don't think so. Maybe. It's okay. An open source project, and you download it, and then you connect it to your favorite AI, and the Claude bot then does stuff for you. So mm-hmm. you can interact with it through email or through Telegram or WhatsApp, and you say, hey, do this for me. It's kind of a remote, but it you can give it tasks to do. So it's like an agent that's sitting on top of your favorite AI. But these things are becoming increasingly easier for someone to install.
Yeah, this past weekend, the tech world watched in real time as Claude Bot, an open source personal AI assistant, went from niche developer tool to viral phenomenon to a security case study in about 72 hours.
Oh, what happened?
Security researchers found over 1,000 exposed servers demonstrating prompt injection attacks that extracted credentials in minutes.
Okay. Well, we have some birthing pains, obviously.
Yes.
But let's just consider for a second that it's going to be easier for people to grab that old piece of crap machine they got somewhere. Everyone has an upgrade somewhere, or on the machine you're working on, if you want, download something. Mm-hmm. I can see a world where you have a proxy. And the proxy is just some LLM, some logic that sits there and does all this for you. And then you subscribe to your own private feeds from your own private system. I have a real hard time seeing anyone building this for profit, because it's just lawsuit waiting to happen. So let's forget about the monetary aspect, and let's just think about the coolness factor, where you should be able to connect your app to your own middleware, and that middleware, used to say, okay, I want to subscribe to this, and says, okay, here's the feed, and that feed is a customized feed just for you, or maybe it's an API or whatever it is. Doesn't have to be a feed, and it processes, it does the chapters, it does all this stuff for you, removes ads, and then you're done. And then you could share that with your buddies, like Nextcloud, or in fact, it should be a Nextcloud plugin, a Nextcloud app. This will be a future for a small percent, but eventually it grows. I mean, it's just like Linux. I don't know if it's true, but I'm reading that Linux desktop is now somewhere near 18% market share. It seems high to me.
Yeah, that seems high to me too.
But even if we're 8%. I mean,
high single digits is a huge deal. I mean, yeah.
So why, these home servers, this has been I've been talking about you'll have a server in your cloud. This was back in the original days before podcasting. Before podcasting, I think the last yard essay that I wrote, which kind of birthed the enclosure tag in RSS in 2000, well before we had the iPod, was every home will come with a server, and this server does stuff. And what it does is downloading media for you. It's queuing it up, getting it ready, make sure, which is Plex in a way. And this is what Start9 is. This is what Umbral is supposed to be. At Start9, I got to tell you that it's a knock on wood, but it's been rock solid. It's just, the stuff is just there. It's always on. It's accessible via Tor. So I don't have to deal with any networking nonsense. It just kind of works for me. So why wouldn't I have I have Olama on it. It's slow, but it works.
Yeah, I feel like, I think there's a reason this is all jumbled up in my head right now. And it's got to do with this threat, this sort of AI threat to the model. Because if what happens is AI ad blocking drives podcasters, popular podcasts out of open RSS into a subscription model with private feeds, then that's going to be a huge hit to RSS across the board for podcasting. And so I feel like the podcast namespace was a way that we could make sure that open RSS still competed with closed systems and their feature set. But I feel like now is a time that we need to have a way where people can, what is the LLM AI thing that's happening right now? The real crux of the whole thing and why it's such a big deal, at least in the vibe coding and this kinds of thing, the tech enthusiasts are on it because it allows you to build a thing and have a hyper customized solution to a problem, just exactly like what you just built with your Linux podcasting rig.
Exactly.
You can build the thing exactly the way you want it to be. And I think that if that's the mindset of this era that we're currently going through, then RSS has to be that also. Well, and it's the perfect thing to do. So we should be able to construct an open way that people can create, can take an existing feed and sort of munge it into a thing that is more the thing they want.
Okay. So let me just get one thing straight with you. I do not believe that you can start a podcast today behind the paywall. It's just not going to work. Unless you're doing freemium content, which I've never really seen it work successfully, except for something that's already big. So how do you get big? It's like Howard Stern. Howard Stern was big because he was syndicated on radio stations across the country. And then he said, come with me behind the paywall, which was Sirius XM. And two things happened. A lot of people went behind the paywall and he became irrelevant within months. No one was talking about. So if you're irrelevant and no one else can talk about what you're saying or what you're doing, how do people find out about it? How do they find? Okay, I guess you can do trial periods and stuff. But that's not mass media. Now you're doing something completely different. So I always think that people will want to have podcasts, audio, video, otherwise, that are available, searchable, findable through an app or any kind of app that you use in order to get any kind of scale.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the index is perfectly suited for the other side of that. Which is, okay, there's all these features that I'm not getting from this podcast. I want to click a button and get these features. I think that, by the way, is perfectly valid. If you're accessing it, if it's free access, then I should be able to, if I want to listen at 3x speed, which I detest, but if someone wants to do that, I can't stop them. I don't want to stop them. Right. But I think we just have to take the money out of the equation. You can't serve two masters.
I know what you're saying. I think I'm not really talking about like things going behind the paywall. Well, I think what I'm afraid of is podcast direct. When you is searching for a podcast in a directory becomes an experience that feels like an app store, where you're searching through the list and some are free and some are paid. And it just looks like. That's not what we have now. What we have now is everything is basically open. Uh-huh. You can listen to anything that you want at any time, and you just may have to deal with ads, or you can possibly go find some subscription, then you get the ads, you don't get the ads. That's what podcasting is. Mm-hmm. But if it comes down to where the podcast apps begin to have to say, well, this one you're going to have to pay for, well, this other one you're going to have to pay for, I think it's just going to ruin it.
Well, I think that's different. There's not many ways you can do that except for, Sam Sethi's, secure RSS.
Yeah. Secure RSS.
Yeah. Maybe, people will beg, steal, do anything they can to get the content they want for free. I mean, I have very close friends who I excoriate frequently. Like, oh, I just go get the movie from Tor. Like, well, you're an asshole. You're just an asshole. Exactly. I pay for my, if someone wants me to pay for their content, I'll pay for it. If it's value for value, I will return value. You know, if I have to listen to ads, I'll listen to ads. I'm not really an ad skipper. I find the ads kind of entertaining sometimes. I see no danger at all of Podcast Index or any other. I mean, Apple may be. In fact, that would be the mistake they made. You know, if they said, oh, well, you can't access.
They already did it.
I don't know how it works. So you're looking at your podcast app and it says you can't listen to this unless you subscribe.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are subscription only.
Well, good. Then screw those guys. I'd rather have 2 million free than 5 million, of which half of those are paid only.
I just want to get ahead of any sort of worrying trend with a solution to the problem before the problem manifests itself. You know, that's really what I'm like. That's where I'm at, I think, with this. And I think my experience with the whole Twit issue, my experience showed me that as a capable tech enthusiast, I don't have a solution to this problem that does not involve going and writing a whole bunch of custom software.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that makes me feel a little worried. I feel like this should be an easier problem to solve. If you got tech know-how, this ought to be easier, actually. I do have the heart out, though, so I'm going to...
Yeah, I agree. Let's thank some people. Hold on a second. Right. And let me just test something before we end.
Podcasts are cool.
Okay, so I'll make sure it works.
Podcasts are cool.
Stop.
Yes, they are.
They are very cool. Let's see. Where are we? Value for value coming in during the show. Unfortunately, I didn't get any pew pews because of the routing system. I was also trying to queue up an end of show ISO, which you didn't hear, but it did go through on the stream. So there's a lot of things I still need to debug.
Welcome to Linux.
CLOS VT. Comes in with 4,300 sats. Thank you. Test from True Fans. You can see it comes from True Fans. Salty Crayon, 5,000 sats. No note and 333. Salty Crayon as well. Gemini is broke. They're using F1 as advertising. I haven't seen any ads. I don't know exactly what F1 is.
F1.
Well, yes, but I haven't seen Formula One or any ads on Gemini. OpenAI is broke. They have to use ads now as well. Yes. I mean, that's, yeah, they, of course, they're going to have to go to ads unless people start paying for it. 2345 from Dreb Scott. He says, go podcasting. 420 sats from Martin Lindis Kog, Lyceum, co-listening with Sam Sethi on truefans.fm, having a cuppa. What are you drinking? Oh, I see. So now you can do listening parties on True Fans. That's good. That's a cool idea. Another one from Salty Crayon, this time from Podverse, 245 sats. Howdy, Dave. Yesterday, an insider Intune admin deleted 16,000 devices on multiple DOW installations. Mine was one of them. Weekend IT surgery. It's happened because they centralized this so easily for any disgruntled admin to take it down. What's a DOW installation?
Woo. Well, I mean, he's talking about Intune. That's the MDM, like management, you know, where you can manage remote devices.
Ooh.
Through. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, I can only imagine setting that up for 16,000 devices. Holy moly. Oh,
that's brutal. That is brutal.
And he sent the same message through Podcast Guru with 333 sats. Thank you very much. And I hit the delimiter, so it's up to you, Dave.
Oh, we got, let's see, we got some PayPals. We got, these are all mixed in because I didn't print them off. We got Jorge Hernandez, $5. Thank you, Jorge. Thank you, Michael Jorge. Goggin, $5. We got John's Creek Studios, LLC, $5. Thank you.
Nice.
We got a one-off. This is $10 from Mark Van Patten. That sounds Dutch.
Right? He's not actually, but he does a lot of the end of show mixes.
And oh, okay. Spoons.
for no, he's a end of show mix AI aficionado, and I've set him up with a streaming server. It's gitmojams.com, and you can listen to lots of AI slop on that.
No.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you from the non-Dutch. Mike Newman, $11.33. He says, go podcasting. Thanks, Mike.
No, let me check and see if it works.
Go podcasting!
Yes, it works.
Hey.
From the cart wall, baby. From the cart wall.
Nice. Dreb Scott, $15. Thank you, Dreb. Appreciate you. Chris Bernardick, $5. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Saggio Management Group, $50. That's one of our newer subscribers. Thank you,
Saggio. Thank you very much. 50-5-0?
Yeah,
I got a big baller for
Sakala,
a second.
Sakala, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
$50, that's baller territory.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we got a one-off from Olas Podgorny, $5.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And look who popped in here.
Oh, would it be Comic Strip Blogger?
No, it's with love from true fan Sam Sethi, $200.
Nice. Thank you, Sam.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
He's got funding now, he's spreading the love. Thank you.
We're getting that trickle down.
That's
trickle
right. Down. Trickle down, a podcast trickle down economy. Yeah. Beautiful.
Let's see. We got, Dreb Scott. Let's see, 33333 boost.
Nice, thank you.
Through Castomatic, 33333. That's a bunch.
That's a good bunch. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a boost. That's a baller, isn't it?
It is now. It's baller.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
It's a baller this time.
He says, "Go podcasting."
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Dreb. As he said, Bruce the Ugly Quacking Duck. He says, in Southern Illinois, this is the podcast guru. In Southern Illinois, just got off work on Saturday evening. It is 13 here and snowing like crazy. Nice to have your podcast to warm up with. Thanks, Adam and Dave, 73s.
73s, brother.
Franco, they sent us a boost through Castomatic. And next week, we need to talk about I've got some thoughts about what Franco's doing with his boost exposing. And I don't know. I think we need to get into that a little bit.
Okay.
Ran out of time today.
Put it down on your piece of paper.
I will. And they got the delimiter, Comic Strip Blogger, 18555 through Fountain. And Comic Strip Blogger says, hola, gringos.
now all of a sudden he's Mexican?
He's Mexican.
Never ceases Mexican to amaze me. Yeah.
Adam and Dave, pal of Adam and me equals Nick the Rat, got laid off this week and he needs new job.
Yeah, I heard about
tech
that.
Tech support. Either remote or own location in New York. Maybe some listeners of your podcast have such a job. Nick can be found on Twitter, X, as @NickTheRat, or on YouTube search for Nick the Rat. Yo, CSB AI Arch Wizard.
Yeah, man, I wish we had enough business to hire him for Godcaster. We're going to need someone like Nick in the future, for sure. If God willing, let's put it that way. God willing, we'll need someone like him. Mm-hmm. All right. That's everything. We got them all in.
That's it.
All right. Thank you all so much for your value, return for the value that you receive from the entire podcastindex.org project. You can go there to support us with your fiat fund coupons, podcastindex.org at the bottom, big red donate button. Of course, you can always send us a boostergram through any of the modern podcast apps at podcastapps.com. And I appreciate you doing the show, Dave. I know you have it's like a webinar you got to manage. Is that what this is? One of those webinar deals?
It's a meeting. It's like a meeting with
meeting.
Wants to do meetings. On Friday. But I will not be here next week, though. Unfortunately, I have a funeral to go to.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. Okay. All right. Yes, so no board meeting next week, but mark down on your calendars. We need to talk about something that Franco was exposing. I don't know.
Franco, how dare you?
Yeah, that's right. All right. Hey, brother, thank you so much for being here as usual. Let me see if I can get this going here. Is anything? Yeah, there we go.
It's working. Hey.
Yeah, thank goodness. Something's working. Have a great weekend, Boardroom. We'll see you in 2 weeks here on Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
They'll never be able to replace these guys with AI.